Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we empower Christian business leaders to launch and grow blessed businesses so together we can advance the kingdom of God. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast and check out the online courses and resources at www.theblessedbusiness.com. That's www.theblessedbusiness.com. And if you're looking for ways to increase your income, check out the Income Accelerator course now available at theblessedbusiness.com/income. Now let's dive into today's episode. I'm excited about today's episode because it is finally happening. I am retiring early, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about what that looks like. So I'm retiring. I'm going to a beach somewhere, and I'm going to sit in a hammock and do nothing for the rest of my life. Well, that's a joke. So that's not happening. But a lot of people, if their friend or their coworker or someone came up to them and told them that, they'd be like, good for you. That's awesome, man. Like, that's great. But that's actually a horrible way to look at life, as the perfect state of man is in complete and utter nothingness, of just complete pursuit of pleasure and emptiness and laziness and doing nothing with our life. A lot of times we think of it in that way, that, you know, the ideal life would be a perpetual vacation, right? Where education doesn't matter, where vocation doesn't matter, where what you do doesn't matter. But that's not the ideal state of man. And that's what we're going to talk about in this episode, is the ideal state of man. And we to kind of lay the foundation of this, we have to go back to the book of Genesis. And in man's perfect state, we see man, the man Adam, in the Garden of Eden. So this is before sin entered into the world. This is before corruption and the world just kind of spinning into chaos, before there was pain and sweat and blood and tears, right, to try to make ends meet. This is in the perfect state of man. What did God do? He gave man a job. And that job was to dress and to keep the garden and to have dominion over the earth. And when he gave him Eve, in Acts 1 and 28, it says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. And so the perfect state of man is one that has work with purpose, has a calling that is going somewhere, if that makes sense. And if you think about the Garden of Eden, it was a limited area that God basically had seeded for them, had planted this wonderful garden. But the nature of what the world was at that time and the way God had designed it was such that if it wasn't that man would forever live in just the Garden of Eden as it was, but to take dominion was to say, hey, take this ideal pattern that I've created, which is this garden, this ideal pattern, and then multiply it over the face of the entire earth. And so if I believe that if man had not sinned, that we would have an earth filled to the brim of basically one giant Garden of Eden that would expand to every corner of the globe. But we obviously know that's not what happened, so we're not all living in a luscious garden. Some of us feel like we're in a dry and parched desert. I talked about that a couple episodes back. But the reality is, in man's perfect state, it was, if I could boil it down to this, was to have a job, to work, to do things, but it was work with purpose. And I'll add to that, it was work with purpose that was following a divine pattern. And so when we talk about business as mission, that's really what we're trying to go back to. Business as mission, my favorite definition of it, and I've said this many times on the podcast, but I'll say it again, is from Pastor Caleb Adams, our pastor, who's now Dr. Caleb Adams. Congratulations to him on that. And that is this. It says, business as mission is utilizing our career or business to advance the kingdom of God by demonstrating Christian values in the context of business and by facilitating ministry with human and financial resources. Now, I've got another episode where I unpack that a little bit more, but in essence, we're utilizing what we're doing to generate an income, whether that's a career, whether that's a business, a side hustle, whatever we're doing, we're utilizing it to advance the kingdom of God kind of two primary ways. One is by demonstrating Christian values in the context of business. Basically, be a Christian at work, right? Someone should be able to see how you operate your business or interact with people in the context of business and say, wow, that person's probably a Christian, without you ever saying, hey, I'm a Christian, right? You should operate with integrity, with honesty, have embraced the principle of generosity. You should have great customer service. You should serve others. You should be humble and not arrogant. I mean, like, there's so many principles of the Bible that when you start putting them into practice in the context of business, it starts to show, and God's blessing and his hand is upon it. But the second half of that is facilitating ministry with human and financial resources. So this is the purpose behind it. And so through human resources would be your skills, your skill sets, your time. This is volunteering at the church or using a certain skill set to help advance the kingdom of God. Or if God's gifted you to teach, then teach Bible studies or whatever it is, right? And so that's one element, but then also with financial resources. So God blesses you and gives you abundance, more than enough, when you follow his principles of stewardship and generosity and diligence and hard work and ethics and all that, then God's hand and blessing is upon that. And when you have extra and you put that back into the kingdom, you become a funnel for the kingdom of God. And so this is a way to bring a lot of purpose to your life, and God gets behind that. And the more that you're connecting your life and your finances and your vocation to the mission, advancing the mission of God, the more vested interest God has in your personal finances. And so this is a wonderful cycle. It's a beautiful thing, but it traces back to the Garden of Eden, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to connect our work, what we do to make an income, to serve others, and to be compensated accordingly, kind of like we talked about in the Income Accelerator course, then that we're trying to connect that back to purpose and mission. And that's what Adam had. He had clarity on what he was supposed to do. He had a job. He had work. His perfect life, the perfect state of man, was not to go retire to that beach and live in a hammock, right? And do nothing, absolutely nothing. Be a lazy bum, right? And maybe surf occasionally. That was not the perfect state of man. And even if, you know, financially you're able to, or I'm able to, that's not what we should be aspiring to. But instead, it's like, okay, now I have more time to dedicate and more resources to dedicate to advancing the kingdom mission. And for Adam, his mission was very clear. He was to multiply. He was to take dominion over the earth. He was to be the living example of what he was supposed to be and replicate that across the entire globe. Well, as Christians, with the kingdom of God and the saving gospel message in our is our responsibility. Getting that to the world is our responsibility. And so that is our mission. And so the more we can connect what we're doing in our day-to-day life to that, the more purpose and the more meaning we will have. You know, and it's interesting going back to this example that God not only told him to dress and keep the garden, I mean, that's a job in and of itself, but he also had him name all the animals. And this is interesting to me, and Pastor Adams has brought this to my attention a number of times. I've heard him mention it numerous times, and it's really stuck with me, is that it's actually really difficult to think about the mental capacity without a computer, without a way to write things down. We don't know if they had any of that, but just from his head, the top of his head, to name every animal, to come up with a new name, and to remember it, right, and for it to have meaning and purpose, right, that was a very tall order. That took some time. That was just an example of how brilliant Adam in the perfect state of man was. I forget, but they say that we only use a certain percentage, small percentage of our actual brain's capacity now. And Adam, I believe, was operating at 100%. So maybe he was smarter than AI, but I don't feel like I am a lot of times. But you know, this is not an AI generated podcast. This is Hunter. So you can probably tell. But that being said, when he named the animals, there was something in that. That was a job, but it wasn't just arbitrary. It wasn't just, oh, okay, we're just going to like get out this, you know, list of animals that we're going to write down and that was it. Okay, now they're named. Move on. You know, do something different. That wasn't something that was just a busy work, if that makes sense. That wasn't a pop quiz or a test. But if you think about it, the reason I believe God had him name the animals was that God allowed him to operate with delegated authority on that mission. And that mission was to take dominion and to multiply. So you can't have dominion over something that you can't name. This is a common principle we see in the Word of God and in Jewish culture and different things that in order to truly have dominion over something and to take authority over it, you have to be able to name it. When you name something, it is a sign of authority and purpose and dominion over it. And you're speaking something over that object or that person or that creature, right, that has purpose and meaning. And that's important to note because a lot of times we think of our work as being somewhat meaningless. It's just an ends, it means to an end, right? To an end. We're working our job to collect a paycheck so we can provide for our family and not go broke, right? But when you start thinking of your job, kind of like Adam did, he didn't think of it as just busy work to pay the bills, right? That's not the state, the ideal state of man. The ideal state of man was one that said, hey, look, what seems like a very daunting and menial task actually has great purpose because I'm taking the time to name every single thing in my world and God is allowing me to do that. So I'm learning how to exercise my delegated authority. And as Christians, especially Christians in the workplace, in trying to live out the BAM message, the business as mission calling, right, is a lot of times we live beneath our privilege. We do not exercise our God-given delegated authority enough. And so I wanted to kind of pull that out in this. In the perfect state of man is we're doing work that's on mission according to the heavenly pattern, just like God created the Garden of Eden and told man to basically replicate this. But also the ideal state of man, the perfect state of man, is operating with delegated authority. And we see this also in the New Testament where a man came to Jesus and was basically like, hey, I would like for you to heal my servant. And he had sent someone to talk to him. And Jesus was like, okay, I'll come. And he's like, no, I'm a man under authority. I'm not worthy that you should come to my house. But he's, I'm a man under authority. I have authority because I'm under authority in so many words, I'm paraphrasing. And if I tell this person, go do this. I tell this soldier, go do that. He does it. Or if I tell this person, come, he comes. And the Jesus marveled at his revelation because he knew as a man what it was like to live in this ideal state of operating under delegated authority or operating with delegated authority, I should say. And so part of dominion is operating, not trying to usurp authority, not trying to take authority and dominion, but to operate in God-given authority and dominion that's been delegated to us. See, we're made in the image of God, and advancing the kingdom of God, as we talk about in business as mission, requires action. It requires writing those checks. It requires living out the BAM principles and incorporating as many biblical principles as possible in our daily lives, in the context of business and otherwise. But it also means going back to that ideal state, that perfect state of man that is saying, okay, I see the heavenly pattern and I see that I'm given authority and I'm going to exercise that authority and I'm going to operate inside of that. And that is a powerful shift that I think a lot of us can benefit from making that shift. You know, another example would be, if you have sin in your life, until you go repent of that sin and take and name it, right? You can't take authority over that. You can't apply the blood of Jesus to that if you're not willing to name that sin and say, hey, God, I did X, Y, Z. I repent of this. Or if there's something I don't even know about, please forgive me. But making that effort to name it. If you have insecurities, this is why therapy is so important and helps a lot of people, is because they don't even understand why they're doing what they're doing. They're responding to a stimulus or to a trauma or to something in the past. But until you actually sort through your emotions and name what it is, it's hard to take control over it. This is why Alcoholics Anonymous don't always agree with everything that they do. I mean, it's good in a sense, but as a Christian, I believe that God brings total deliverance, not just, I'm an alcoholic who's in remission. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Now, I don't believe that. I believe that God can bring deliverance, but one thing they do have right is one of the first things that you have to do is you have to identify the problem. If you can identify and name the problem, hey, I'm struggling with X, then you can start to tackle that. Then you can start taking dominion over that. The same thing in business. If your sales team is struggling, or if your revenues are falling, or if something's not going right in your business, or if your career has been really rocky and shaky lately, and you're kind of worried about it, and you're worried AI is going to take over and you're going to lose your job, you have to take responsibility for that and say, okay, I'm going to operate it. I know I'm called to work. I know I'm going to implement biblical principles in how I work and live out the BAM mission, right? But I'm also trying to operate with delegated authority, so that means I've got to start naming some things. Operating with delegated authority and taking dominion over your world starts with naming things. And to get back to your ideal pattern that God has for you, the ideal state is one where you can name everything in your world. I can name where the issues are, where the good things are, where I'm strong at, where I'm not, where I'm weak. To be able to have a good understanding and assessment of where you stand in the world in relation to your mission puts you on track to be able to go back to that ideal state and start taking dominion and operating with delegated authority. Because if you're just blundering around and you don't know what you're doing, you don't know why you're doing it, you don't know what the next step is, you're in a negative cycle and it feels like you can never break free and you don't know why, that's not dominion. That's not the ideal state of man. That's not advancing the kingdom purpose in a significant way. You're on a rat race. You're on a hamster wheel, right? You're going round and round and round and around and trying a new business or a new career or a new job, or, man, about the time I get my relationships right, my business falls off. Or about the time I get my revenues going again or my career gets to a peak, man, it demands so much that I start slacking off in prayer or Bible reading, and then, man, things start to fall apart again. So it's like becoming a well-rounded person means you have to start naming everything in your world, and for the good or the bad, right? And call it for what it is and start owning it and taking responsibility for it. And going back to the part about the heavenly pattern is that God shows us in His Word what the heavenly pattern should be, what the ideal state of man should look like. It should be one where we're exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. It should be one where we're living with peace and joy and prosperity. And, you know, as the Bible says, I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Well, it's meaning both from a spiritual and a natural perspective, we should be flourishing in the spiritual, but also in the natural and in our physical health. And so we're a whole being. And so if your health is suffering, if your relationships are suffering, if your spirituality is suffering, well, even if your finances are thriving, you're not operating in dominion. You're not operating according to the pattern. The pattern is a cycle that is one that brings peace and stability and that's well-rounded. And so this is something in this episode, I just wanted to kind of bring this to the, not as a, hey, here's everything that you need to know in the perfect state of man, because there's a lot to dig into that. And we live in a fallen world, so it is really challenging to replicate that. But it starts with understanding that there is an ideal pattern, that I have certain elements that I can start tackling right now, like start naming things, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, Proverbs tells us that. And you have a purpose. You have a mission. I wanted you to walk away from this episode knowing that, that God has a purpose for your life, just like Adam. And it's not just to be lazy and do nothing. You are valuable. Your contribution is needed. You, even if you have all the money in the world, don't go sit on a hammock on a beach somewhere, maybe for a week or two, maybe a month, all right? But nothing wrong with taking rest and relaxation. That's part of it. But if you're just going to check out of life and that's your ideal state, I'm sorry for the wake-up call, but like that's not what God's called you to be. And he's probably not incentivized to financially bless you to encourage such activities, right? But I feel like, and I've talked about this before, is I want to start to get to a place financially. I work really hard to get to a place where, or I'm working really hard, I should say, to get to a place where I'm working for giving, not for living. And so what I mean by that is, yes, I want to get to a place where I'm not just in sustenance only, survival mode acquisition, right? I'm not just trying to make enough money to pay the bills, right? I'm wanting to get to a place where I can buy back my time, and yes, we're blessed, and yes, we're able to go on vacation and pay the bills and do all the things that we want to do for the most part and, you know, live a good and well, you know, fulfilled life without the stress of having to go do a 9-to-5 and to be constantly sucked into the rat race, right? And work 60 hours a week just to provide. Now, some people, that's where you're at, and there's nothing wrong with working diligently and hard. I'm not saying that that's not good, but balance is everything, right? And so I'm trying to work out of that cycle, and I'm trying to do it before I'm 65 or 70, right? That's not what retirement looks like. Retirement is a number, not an age, right? It's a financial number of assets or, you know, a business or investments or whatever that is producing enough income to pay all your bills without you having to do active work, right? And so I'm hoping to get there much sooner, right? But the point of all that is not so that I can stop living and stop contributing to society, but instead it buys back my time to either invest in more activities that generate more income so that I can then give more than I've ever given before, or on the flip side, maybe I can invest in other areas at an even greater level than I already do. Maybe that means I can teach more Bible studies. Maybe that means I can take more young men to lunch and say, hey, let's talk about your future. Let me give you some advice for your career, you know, or whatever. It's investing in other people. Maybe that looks like I do more mission trips. Maybe that looks like I am more involved in my local church. Maybe that means I'm more civically involved in my local community and try to make an impact, right? The key is the ideal state of man is not to be a complete rest and nothingness. There are seasons and moments of rest. You know, Psalms 23, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There's times when either life, circumstance, God, or ourselves are forced to lay down and rest. If you're going through a sickness or an illness or just, hey, your body needs to recover, there's nothing wrong with that. Those are good things. It's not always a negative thing. Sometimes you just need to go on vacation, right? But that's not where you live 100% of your time. That's not the ideal state of man. The ideal state of man is going out there, contributing to society, embracing business as mission, advancing the kingdom of God, and doing everything you can to bring to fruition that mission, the bringing the gospel to the world, demonstrating what it means to be a Christian in the context of business, right? And so I want to encourage you that if your goal is to go lay on a beach and do nothing, reevaluate your goals. And if your goals look like, hey, I'm trying to get somewhere where I can contribute more to the kingdom of God, I'm trying to create this side hustle so that I can invest in some things that I can either give back to the kingdom financially, or it's going to buy back some of my time in the future so that I can contribute that to the kingdom of God and be more involved in my local assembly or in Bible studies or outreach or global missions or whatever it is, right? But think about this episode and think about, what is my preferred future? I've actually done this before and say, I've wrote this down. I the other day, I actually did this again. I was sitting out at the farm and it was a beautiful day and I just drug a lawn chair out there and I just sat there in the sunlight and I had a blank piece of paper I'd grabbed off the copy machine and the printer, and I just started writing and I was like, what is the ideal state of Hunter? What does my preferred future look like? And given the context of what we've talked about today, you may need to sit down and take a moment and have that conversation with yourself and say, what is my ideal state? What am I called to do? What brings life into me? If I wasn't working for money, what would I be doing with my time? If I didn't have to work to pay bills, what would I be doing with my time? And if you answer honestly right now, it's like, ooh, I would be playing video games, or I'd be scrolling social media, or I would be, you know, going on vacation like 24/7, or I'd be doing this, or I'd be doing that. If everything that you honestly assess in yourself and say, I would have all these hobbies and all these things, and I would basically be doing a whole lot of nothing, right? In moderation, those things are good, and maybe a little bit more than you already do is not a bad thing. But if that's all you can come up with, you really need to take some time and do some introspection and think, okay, my calling and purpose is greater than that. I have the ability to contribute at a much higher level. I can take dominion over my world and start naming some things in a way that will lead to a much better, much more fulfilling outcome and preferred future. And I believe that you can. I believe God has greatness inside of you that you don't even fully know yet. And if you take that exercise and you write down, if I wasn't working for money, if I didn't have to work for money, what would I do with my life? And then start trying to engineer backwards, reverse engineer that. And whether that's starting a business and taking the launch course that we have, whether that's taking the income accelerator course and learning how to increase your value so that you get paid more on your job, so that you can invest more and build faster, so that you can get out of the rat race of just earning enough to survive. And instead, you can start moving towards that ideal state, that perfect state of, this is, in a perfect world, this is what I would be called to do. It's not going to end up that way perfectly, you know, probably, but because we're in a fallen world. But what you can do is you can start aligning yourself with intentionality towards that, rather than just bumbling along in life waiting to see what happens. Because I can 100% guarantee you, it's not going to happen. That your ideal preferred future is not going to happen on accident. You have to do this with intentionality. So anyway, I'm going to leave you with that for today. Hope this has been encouraging, and God bless you on your journey to greatness.
This concludes today's episode, and we trust you were able to walk away with something of value from the content that you heard. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Be sure to share this episode with a friend. Sharing is caring, after all. And check out the resources available on our website at theblessedbusiness.com. We have a lot of goodies out there for you, like the Income Accelerator course that teaches you the 5 keys to unlocking your earning potential, or the Launch course, which is a step-by-step guide to help you launch your own business. Thank you for your time and attention today, and until next time, be blessed.